Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins. Our service continues with the Decalogue on page 350 of your Book of Common Prayer. The congregation's response to every commandment is, Amen, Lord, have mercy. Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods but me.
Amen, Lord, have mercy.
You shall not make for yourself any idol. You shall not invoke with malice the name of the Lord your God.
Amen, Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Amen, Lord, have mercy.
Honor your father and your mother.
Amen, Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit murder.
Amen, Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen, Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen, Lord, have mercy.
You shall not be a false witness.
Amen, Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Amen, Lord, have mercy.
Jesus said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, Jesus your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God forever and ever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures. Today, tomorrow, and on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today and tomorrow and the next day, I must be on my way, because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem.' Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who sent to it. How often has I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of our Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In this morning's gospel reading, Jesus seems a bit different. This isn't the "blessed are you" Jesus that we're used to hearing about. Instead, Jesus says to the Pharisees, when they come to warn him that Herod wants to kill him, "Go and tell that fox for me." Is it just me, or does Jesus seem a little snarky? "Go and tell that fox for me." Fox probably held the same underlying connotations in the first century as it does today. The idea of being cunning, underhanded, sneaky. But there's another meaning at work here as well. I'm going to take 2 minutes, and I'm going to talk a little bit about history. And it's a little confusing, so stick with me. Because we have this king, Herod, who wants to kill Jesus. And his father's name was Herod, so it does get a little confusing. The Herod that we're talking about this morning, who Jesus is talking to, is Herod Antipas. His father was Herod the Great. Herod the Great, not well loved by his subjects. Because not only was Herod the Great a puppet king, he was also an Idumean. Only barely considered Jewish. Now this other Herod, the one we're talking about today, Herod Antipas, the one Jesus calls a fox, is the son of this Idumean Herod and a Samaritan woman. And you all remember how Jews in the first centuries thought of Samaritans. In ancient Jewish understanding, not only did fox mean conniving or cunning, it was also considered the polar opposite of the lion. The lion is the symbol of the tribe of Judah, the tribe of King David, and the tribe of Jesus. That's why the hero in C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia is the lion Aslan. Jesus is sending a message to Herod saying, "Think about who you really are. The fox should not be sitting on the throne of the lion." Jesus is saying, consider who you are and who you should be. There was a report on this NPR radio show that I like to listen to called Humankind a couple of weeks ago about a man named John Robbins. It's a name we should all know very, very well. You see, as a bright young man, John Robbins was the heir apparent to the Baskin-Robbins ice cream empire. But in his early 20s, he and his wife struck out on their own, turning away from all that family wealth and choosing instead a subsistence lifestyle of deliberately simple living that included growing their own food. And then John eventually began writing books about this journey, about his advocacy for the environment and his commitment to a healthier and more sustainable food system. His books sold in the millions. One was even nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. His popularity as author and environmental advocate led John Robbins to earning a substantial amount of money. In fact, a small fortune all of his own. Then, in 2008, he learned suddenly that he had lost almost everything because he had invested heavily in the Wall Street firm of one Bernie Madoff. This sent Robbins and his family into a complete crisis, a spiral downward. They were on the verge of losing their home, where they were helping their children to care for and raise their three special needs grandchildren. Once the period of panic had passed him by, Robbins decided to take stock of his life. What really defined his success or failure, he wondered. What did it mean to be successful? What did it mean to be a good husband or father or grandfather? He had to stop and reappraise what it meant to live a good life. He came to this conclusion. He said, "We have a sickness in our society. If you say that somebody is a success, isn't it that you usually mean is that they made a lot of money or that they have a lot of money? Whereas I would define a successful human being," he said, "if you think twice about it and question that original assumption, wouldn't that actually be somebody who brings out the best in other people? Someone who gives, adds beauty to the lives of others in some way." In the season of Lent, which we've only just begun, this season is seen by many in a particularly negative light. We may think of it as a time of solemnity and darkness, as an obstacle that has to be overcome in order to get to the joyful season of Easter. And especially those who don't keep Lent, when we tell them we're keeping Lent, the reaction you often get is, "Oh." We sometimes focus on the fasting, the penance, and the self-denial. You know, we can't have the chocolate or that cup of coffee we've promised we'd stay off of for the next 40 days. We often see Lent as something that has to be endured. It's true, Lent is about fasting and penance and self-denial. But Lent is actually a gift. It's a gift we've been given that allows us to take our focus off of the world around us and focus instead on our relationship with God. We're asked to set aside the things in our lives that can consume our attention. And just as Jesus says to Herod in today's reading, to take a look at who we really are. God became human in Jesus Christ to show us what it means to be truly, fully human. Lent allows us a time to examine our lives, to see ourselves for who we truly are, to take note of the moments of darkness in our own minds, to evaluate how we live and treat the people in our lives. Lent gives us a short space of time in our overly busy lives to compare who we are with who God calls us to be. John Robbins took the tragedy of losing everything he had and used it to decide what kind of person he was really supposed to be. He found that he's far happier when he evaluates his success based on the relationships he has with his family and all the people around him. He found that being more concerned with making a positive impact on the world rather than earning more money led to a more positive self-image and a happiness more real than he had ever experienced before in his life. At the end of our reading from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus laments for Jerusalem, and he compares himself to yet another animal. Jesus says, "How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." This statement tells us who Jesus really is. The mother hen will gather her chicks under her wings, protecting them and bearing her chest to the onslaught of the fox. The only defense she has is to sacrifice herself to save her young. Jesus will do the same in just a few weeks. Spend this Lenten season examining who you are and who God is calling you to be. The grace of Christ's sacrifice makes it possible for us to move from where we are to where we are created to be. We share the strength of the Lion of Judah. Set aside the chocolate or the coffee or the TV shows or video games that use up your time, and spend some of that time in prayer, in self-evaluation, in pondering the blessings for which you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Who is God calling you to be?
Please stand as we reaffirm our faith through the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
O God, you are always true to us in love, and we ask your forgiveness for our faithlessness to you and to one another, for our forgetting the poor and the broken, for our failure to cherish creation. Give us life, O God, to change and enable us to change that we may live. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort the sick and the suffering, Lord Christ. We pray especially for Charles Warren Lovett Ball. Be with the lonely and with those who mourn. I invite you to speak the names of those in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring peace to the world, O Christ, for only you can bring reconciliation between nations and peoples. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the leaders of this nation in the ways of justice and peace. Help us all to listen to one another with open minds and hearts, to communicate, to articulate, and to learn from one another. Lord, in your mercy, keep us faithful, O Christ, in this season of Lent, that we may be enriched by the practices and disciplines that we have adopted during these 40 days. Lord, in your mercy, gracious and loving God, our Heavenly Father, you have called us in this diocese to a goodly community of faith. You have called us also to bring others to know and love you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, because it is only by your mercy that we can do those good things you require of us. We pray that you would give us a special measure of your grace as we seek to be obedient to your great commission. Assist us, O Lord, and help us as we set out to do those things you would have us to do, to bring others to the knowledge and love of you. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
My brothers and sisters, the peace of the Lord be always with you. Well, good morning. If you are new or visiting us, we have a small information bag for you. If you'd like to raise your hand and receive one now, do so and an usher will bring one to you. Or at the end of the service, just go ahead and grab one from near the baptismal font. We're so glad you're here. Dean Kate is away today and tomorrow in Fayetteville, North Carolina, as a guest of St. John's Church there. She's participating in a Lenten series, speaker series. And so she will teach a class or forum this evening as well as a class tomorrow. So continue to keep her in your prayers. Several announcements. Next Sunday, the H. Alvin Green Chorale will be here at the 11 a.m. service. And I've told all the other services that, so be kindly and good Christians and share your seats with them next week. Cursillistas, the Area Altrea, will be today at St. Catherine's at 5 p.m. Here's some offerings during this Lenten season, as Carl suggested that we engage in our discipline and relationship with God. Centering prayer is offered at 10 a.m. in room 301 on Sundays. We're also offering Bishop Howard's video series on chapters 2 and 3 of the Book of Revelation at 10 a.m., and that is in room 305. The Dean's Forums at 10 a.m. are all about the roles of Mary Magdalene and the Virgin Mary in history and in our lives today. Now, a couple announcements regarding immediately after this service. Coffee Hour is going to be in Burwell Court because we have two offerings today. In Ingram Lounge, there is a meal and an AgeWell workshop on how to manage your medications. And in Tolliver Hall, we have a very special presentation. The first century world of Rome was shocked by how much Christians loved each other. They actually wrote, "See these Christians, see how they love each other." It's where we get the hymn, "And they will know we are Christians by our love." And St. John's is seeking to shock the world today by how much we love each other. And so we're gathering together to learn how to love each other in some difficult conversations. The technical term is civil discourse, but we're going to invite you to participate with us to learn how to listen to and understand your fellow Christian across what the world wants to tell us is something that we can't be friends about, but we're going to teach them that we can love each other
and learn to love each other with difference. So this is our first one from 12 to 2 today. Lunch is provided, and other opportunities will follow. Thank you. We're so glad you're here. Walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you with saints and angels praising you and singing. Praise you and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people, gather us in your loving arms, and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. not presume to come to this, your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness,
but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather our crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose property it is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. And the peace which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
the love and serve the Lord.